Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia, and this is another in this occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 3 and Chapter 39. Thus, the recognized writing of Clement is well known, and the works of Ignatius and Polycarp have been spoken of, and of Papias, five treatises are extant, which have also the title of Interpretation of the Oracles of the Lord. These are also mentioned by Irenaeus as though his only writing, for he says in one place, "To these things also Papias, the hearer of John, who was a companion of Polycarp and one of the ancients, bears witness in writing in the fourth of his books, for five books were composed by him." So says Irenaeus. Yet Papias himself, according to the preface of his treatises, makes plain that he had in no way been a hearer and eyewitness of the sacred apostles, but teaches that he had received the articles of the faith from those who had known them, for he speaks as follows, "And I shall not hesitate to append to the interpretations all that I have ever learnt well from the presbyters and remember well, for of their truth I am confident. For unlike most, I did not rejoice in them who say much, but in them who teach the truth, nor in them who recount the commandments of others, but in them who repeated those given to the faith by the Lord and derive from truth itself. But if ever anyone came who had followed the presbyters, I inquired into the words of the presbyters, what Andrew or Peter or Philip or Thomas or James or John or Matthew or any other of the Lord's disciples had said, and what Aristion and the presbyter John, the Lord's disciples, were saying. For I did not suppose that information from books would help me so much as the word of a living and surviving voice." It is here worth noting that he twice counts the name of John, and reckons the first John with Peter and James and Matthew and the other apostles, clearly meaning the evangelist, but by changing his statement places the second with the others outside the number of the apostles, putting Aristion before him and clearly calling him a presbyter. This confirms the truth of the story of those who have said that there were two of the same name in Asia, and that there are two tombs at Ephesus, both still called John's. This calls for attention, for it is probable that the second, unless anyone prefer the former, saw the revelation, which passes under the name of John. The Papias whom we are now treating confesses that he had received the words of the apostles from their followers, but says that he had actually heard Aristion and the presbyter John. He often quotes them by name, and gives their traditions in his writings. Let this suffice to good purpose, but it is worthwhile to add to the words of Papias already given other sayings of his, in which he tells certain marvels and other details which apparently reached him by tradition. It has already been mentioned that Philip the Apostle lived at Hierapolis with his daughters, but it must now be shown how Papias was with them and received a wonderful story from the daughters of Philip. For he relates the resurrection of a corpse in his time, and in another place another miracle connected with Justus, surnamed Barsabbas, for he drank poison, but, by the Lord's grace, suffered no harm. Of this Justus, the Acts relates that the sacred apostles set him up and prayed over him together with Matthias after the ascension of the Lord for the choice of one to fill up their number in place of the traitor Judas. And they set forth too Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was called Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said. The same writer adduces other accounts, as though they came to him from unwritten tradition, and some strange parables and teachings of the Savior, and some other more mythical accounts. Among them he says that there will be a millennium after the resurrection of the dead, when the kingdom of Christ will be set up in material form on this earth. I suppose that he got these notions by a perverse reading of the apostolic accounts, not realizing that they had spoken mystically and symbolically. For he was a man of very little intelligence, as is clear from his books. But he is responsible for the fact that so many Christian writers after him held the same opinion, relying on his antiquity, for instance, Irenaeus and whoever else appears to have held the same views. In the same writing, he also quotes other interpretations of the words of the Lord given by Aristion, mentioned above, and traditions of John the Presbyter. To them we may dismiss the studious, but we are now obliged to append to the words already quoted from him a tradition about the Mark who wrote the Gospel, which he expounds as follows. And the presbyter used to say this, Mark became Peter's interpreter and wrote accurately all that he remembered, not indeed in order of the things said or done by the Lord. For he had not heard the Lord, nor had he followed him, but later on, as I said, followed Peter, who used to give teaching as necessity demanded, but not making, as it were, an arrangement of the Lord's oracles, so that Mark did nothing wrong in thus writing down single points as he remembered them. For to one thing he gave attention, to leave out nothing of what he had heard, and to make no false statements in them. This is related by Papias about Mark. And about Matthew, this was said. Matthew collected the oracles in the Hebrew language, and each interpreted them as best he could. The same writer used quotations from the first epistle of John, and likewise also from that of Peter, and has expounded another story about a woman who was accused before the Lord of many sins, which the Gospel, according to the Hebrews, contains. Let this suffice us in addition to the extracts made. Here ends Book 3 and Chapter 39, and with Chapter 39 also Book 3 comes to its conclusion. And so let's move on now to some notes and commentary on this chapter. The focus in this chapter is on the writings of Papias of Hierapolis, and his dates for his life are typically given as from around the year 60 to around the year 130. So he would have written probably in the late 1st, early 2nd centuries. Eusebius says that Papias was the author of 5 treatises under the title Interpretation of the Oracles of the Lord. This work is no longer extant, except in quotations as here and elsewhere from Eusebius and also from Irenaeus. He notes that Irenaeus described him, Papias, as the hearer of John, who is a companion of Polycarp and one of the ancients. Eusebius notes, however, that Papias himself did not say he was a hearer and eyewitness of the sacred apostles, but that he learned from those who knew them. He cites a passage in which Papias says he was diligent in learning from the followers of the apostles and the other disciples of Jesus, including Andrew, Peter, Philip, Thomas, James, John, and Matthew, but also non-apostolic men, those who were not among the 12, including Aristion and one known as the presbyter or elder, John. He also quotes a controversial statement of Papias in which Papias says he did not consider that he would profit so much from books as from the word of a living and surviving voice. And there's been much discussion of that as to what the view of some early Christians might have been of writings like the Gospels versus oral traditions. So there's a question about what that statement from Papias actually meant. Eusebius also notes the mention of 2 Johns by Papias, John the Apostle and John the Elder, suggesting the possibility that the latter, John the Elder, was the author of Revelation, but he also seems open to the possibility that John the Apostle could have been the author of Revelation. Eusebius relays other traditions that come from Papias, including one about the daughters of Philip the Apostle at Hierapolis, And again, there's a question about confusion in Eusebius between Philip the Apostle and Philip the Evangelist. But this tradition involved the raising of a corpse. And he also notes a tradition from Papias about Justus Barsabbas, who was one of the candidates along with Matthias to replace Judas. And the tradition relating to him involves his drinking of poison and suffering no harm. And this is also key as it might relate to the statement found in the traditional ending of Mark in Mark 16:18, in Christ's promise that the followers of his would be able to drink poison and not be hurt by it. Eusebius also notes an unwritten tradition conveyed by Papias that included some strange parables and teachings of the Savior and some more mythical accounts. Among these accounts, he mentions the teaching of a millennial kingdom. Eusebius accuses Papias of misreading mystical and symbolic accounts of the apostles, since, he says, Papias was a man of very little intelligence. Yet he holds Papias responsible for influencing others to hold such millenarian views, including Irenaeus. He also records Papias's description of the evangelist Mark, according to traditions that he had received, and Mark is described as Peter's interpreter, who recorded the apostles' remembrances accurately, but not in order. Of Matthew, Papias says the evangelist collected the oracles in the Hebrew language or dialect, and each interpreted as best he could. And that statement from Papias has led to many questions about Matthew's gospel, about whether it could possibly have been written in an early form in Hebrew or Aramaic and later translated into Greek, and also about Matthew being written for a Jewish audience. He also adds a tradition from Papias that Papias made citations or quotations from 1 John and also from 1 Peter, and this would be evidence of the antiquity and apostolic nature of those early epistles. Finally, he refers to a story recorded by Papias of a woman accused before the Lord of many sins, a tradition recorded, as Papias apparently put it, in the Gospel according to the Hebrews. It has been speculated that this might refer to the so-called pericope adulteri, the woman taken in adultery passage found in John 7:53 through 8:11, and that this would possibly lend credence to the pericope adulteri as a popular Jesus tradition that was floating about in early Christianity, although that would be a speculation that isn't necessarily well-founded by this statement. This could refer to the woman who washed the feet of Jesus. And so it's a question of what exactly is being referred to here. In conclusion, Eusebius recognizes Papias as an important early historical source, both about the apostles and the early Christian writings, but he also raises questions about Papias's reliability, especially with regard to his controversial millennial views. So this brings this episode to a conclusion. I hope this has been profitable, and I will look forward to speaking to you in our next episode. Till then, take care and God bless.